Log Talk Radio.
Out there in Blog Talk Radio land, this is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina, and this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Hello, everybody out there. Hope today finds you doing well. Hope you're staying safe out there. If you'd like to be a guest to call into the program, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. But once again, pay attention to the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. If you come in here with your ad hominem attacks and character assassinations, excessive profanity, trolling, things of that sort, it will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay? I don't care if you agree or disagree with me. Just be respectful in your interactions on this show. Okay? Well, having said all that, Hope everybody's doing well out there today. You know, of course, we know what the big news is this week. You know, the invasion of Russia into the Ukraine. And, of course, before that, it was the truckers up in Canada. I was telling my wife the other day, I wouldn't be surprised if our interactions with the Ukrainian crisis might be a way of trying to ignore the truckers' protest up in Canada, because it looks like that could be coming to a town near you, you know. And I'm saying, and I'm talking about the U.S. You know, it might catch on, and I don't know. Maybe they say, hey, let's look at this thing in Ukraine. You know, let's forget about the trucker thing. Let's ignore that. You know. But this is a serious issue. Russia's been rattling their sabers at the Ukraine for quite some time. And they, you know, it looks like they're invading. I heard that they took over the town that the nuclear crisis, the Chernobyl nuclear accident happened. I think they said the Russians have already taken over that town. I'm not sure. It might be a rumor, but I've heard that they're taking over that town. I don't know what they're going to do there with all that radiation out there. They said they're going to be cleaning up that radiation till 2065. But those of you all who know the power of prayer, you know, just pray for that region out there. Point your hands that way or whatever. And hopefully we'll see an end to this crisis real soon. I don't know what Joe Biden is doing by supporting this. You know, he enacted some sanctions against Russia. And, well, let me just say it. To make a long story short, basically what he's doing, he's making it bad for all of us here in the U.S. You know, Russia is the third largest oil supplier in the world. And by him pushing these sanctions on Russia, it's going to cause gas prices to go up if you haven't even noticed already. And there's even a rumor, and once I want to state explicitly that this is a rumor, that gas prices, don't be surprised if gas prices go up to $7 a gallon because of what's happening in that region over there. You know, don't be too surprised. You know, and like I said, that's just a rumor. I don't know if it's going to get that high. The way the prices are rising right now, I probably won't be too surprised about that. I'll be disappointed, but I really won't be surprised. Because, you know, the gas prices have just shot up within the past couple of weeks. I mean, it was like a couple of weeks ago, the gas was like $3.19 or something. Now it's like, I know here in Durham, it's about $3.60. I just talked to my mom a few minutes ago. She said in D.C., it's up to about $3.80, you know, so we got that. But, you know, and I noticed that a lot of people are kind of worried about blaming Joseph Budinski, Joe Biden, for the rise in gas prices, you know, and I'm pretty certain that if Donald Trump was in office and the gas prices were shooting up like they were, they'd have no problem with blaming Donald Trump. But this is Joe Biden's call right here. You know, the rise in the gas prices. You know, folks, don't hold back. Look, you know that Joe Biden is responsible for our gas prices like this. The first thing he did, one of his first acts when he got into office, was to shut down the XL pipeline. We were energy independent. And, you know, I guess the environmentalists got into his ear or something like that. And he decided to shut down the pipeline. But he supported Russia and Eastern Europe getting their pipeline. And I don't understand. I don't understand the sense or the thinking that goes into that. Why are you going to shut down a pipeline here in your country, but you'll support somebody else to open up a pipeline? And then not only that, you want to go to foreign countries and beg and plead with them to produce more oil so that we could get more oil and that, you know, the prices, you know, I guess the prices will go down. And the countries that he's begging and pleading, you know, the Middle Eastern countries, they have every right to say, no, you got oil in your country. Won't you mine for oil in your country? Stop getting it from us because we don't like you. But Joe Biden doesn't see it that way. You know, Joe Biden's number one mission when he got into the White House was to get rid of everything that Trump enacted. If it has Donald Trump's name on it, get rid of it. Nah, we're not going to have that anymore. No matter if it benefits the people in the U.S. or not. If it has Trump's name on it, Joe Biden wanted to get rid of it. So there's that. And but that's not what I come here to talk about today. This morning, I was going through my perusings. My wife is not here because she's helping a friend get their hair done and everything. She's helping one of her friends get her hair done. And folks, let me tell you something as an aside. If you are out there and you are single and you're thinking about getting married, you know, they tell you about the electric bill, the water bill, you know, and everything, all these bills you had to pay. But keep in mind, there's another bill you had to pay, and that's the hair bill. I paid a considerable amount of money. I paid a considerable amount of money to get my wife's, you know, to buy hair and stuff like that, go to the hair shop and go to the beauty place and everything. Because, you know, you want your lady looking good, and she wants to look good and everything. And you don't want to be like, oh, no, I don't want. No, you want your wife to look good, you know, so keep that in mind, you know. But anyway, my wife's not here today, so I won't be getting anything from the peanut gallery today from her, you know. No, I got the best wife in the world. But anyway, I pulled up these two articles today. Well, I think one is an article and another is a video. Where's that other one? Okay, yeah. You all know what I'm about on this show. You know what this show is about. I come here and I talk about, I come to expose a lot of the falsehoods people say about the black community. And it's not in the way that you think. You know, you would think that because I'm a black man, I'm going to sit here and sing the praises of the black community and everything. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I don't think the black community has done anything any more or less praiseworthy than any other community. And as you all know, and I say it ad nauseum, to the point where it probably gets on your nerve, that, you know, I'm a free-thinking black man, and all I'm about is the truth. Now, some black folks, they don't get it in their heads that, you know, I need to be more about the truth than I am about my skin color. And they think because they have melanated skin that they have to think a certain way like mainstream black America tells them to. I'm not one of those people. I'm not going to sit here and let someone tell me because I look like them that I got to think like they do. Which means if I go on the news and I see something happening to black people or something like that, I gotta go along with what black America thinks about this certain situation. Instead of analyzing it for myself, using my independence of thinking to analyze something myself and to come up with my own conclusions. And a lot of people. Folks, I don't know what happened. That Skype just cuts off on you for no reason, and I don't know why they cut off on me this time. But I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, let me just go on with my thought. I was talking about, you know, people gotta, they think you gotta think like they do because you have the same skin color and everything. And I don't understand people who would drop the truth based on a certain ideal, you know. This is the ideal I believe in, so the truth be damned, you know. And, folks, I'm not cussing when I say that. But truth be damned, in order for me to hold on to my ideals. You know, you can point out what people have done. You can point it out to them. You can show them the facts. But because they've been trained to believe a certain way, the truth has to take a back seat. This is the problem I have with so-called black Christians. You know, these people that go to church and they talk about Jesus's love and, you know, and I believe the word and everything. But then when it comes to political issue or something like that, they will rather adhere to the political issue than they do to the truth. In other words, they let their politics dictate to them what they're going to believe instead of their beliefs, their Christian beliefs, dictating their politics. And they fall right into lockstep with the rest of the world that doesn't care about Christianity. You know, they'll say the things like, oh yeah, these white police officers are hunting us down, and the Democrats care about black people, and the Republicans are the party of hatred. They don't like black people, and you know, and they fall right in line, and it amazes you. And it's like, you know, do you all, you say you want to know the truth, but then you'll turn around, follow the lie. And you care more about your skin color than you do about the truth. It was very disheartening in 2008 when a lot of black Christians, so-called black Christians, voted for Barack Obama, a man who said Planned Parenthood is going to have a friend in the White House. People didn't care about that. What they cared about was, oh, we get a black man into the White House. They wanted to be a part of so-called history because a black man was finally getting into the White House, which Barack Obama really is not black. He's not black. Oh, yeah. Oh, Barack Obama. They show videos on YouTube, people doing the Jungle Boogie and dancing in the churches. Because Barack Obama was finally anointed King of the United States. And a lot of people didn't care about what his philosophy was. They cared about his skin color. Well, probably part of his philosophy too, because if the person who had been elected had been someone like a Herman Cain or Larry Elder or Alan Keyes or someone like that, we wouldn't have been singing the praises of the black man then, because those people are sellouts. They're out of touch with black America. They think too much. You know, they're too independent minded. They're not going off the cliff with the rest of the lemmings like we are. They want to think for themselves. They don't allow the collective to do the thinking for them. They want to think for themselves as individuals. So we got to cast these people off, because they are a threat to the rest of us. And a lot of black Christians fell right into line. They fell into the line of, oh, white people want to hold us back. Oh, white people are still benefiting from slavery. White people don't want us living in their neighborhoods. We can't drive through their and a lot of you all fell lockstep with that mess. And some of you all still do it. And you might not come out and be vocal about it, but you still believe that white people are the main reason. White people are the main reason why blacks cannot get ahead in this country today. We talk about the high crime rate in black neighborhoods. Oh, that's because of white people. How's that got to do with white people? The high drug use in the black neighborhoods. Oh, that's because white people, what white people did. The fatherlessness in our homes, white people. Everything that gives a negative stigma to the black communities, we always want to go back to, it was the white man that's got us like this. The white man got us on the drugs. The white man got us shooting and killing one another. The white man got us hating one another. No, the white man had nothing to do with it. Think like that. Basically, what you're saying, you know, don't come to me holding your fist in the air talking about black power, because you ain't got no power, because everything is the fault of the white man. And it seems like the white man has more power Then you want to give him credit for. Oh, yeah, I shot that guy because, you know, I'm in chains in my mind. You know, the white man got me in chains in my mind. That's why I did what I did. No, you did what you did because you're evil. That's why. Not because of what the white man did. people always want to go back to Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Rosewood, or any of these other places, and say, this is what white people did. But they're not doing that today. And now the narrative is nothing has really changed. The 50s, that was like 70 years ago, but nothing has changed in 70 years. And they'll tell you that. Oh, nothing has changed. If you can stand the stench, go over to that website called The Root. And you'll see just what I'm talking about. All they talk about on The Root is, you know, how evil white people are and, you know, why we can't get ahead and all that garbage. Instead of taking responsibility for your own actions, instead of putting it off on somebody else's shoulders and taking responsibility for your own actions, you want to blame someone else because, oh, that just gets the blame off of me. It gets the attention off of me, puts the attention on someone else. So the attention won't be on me. And that's collectively what the black community in the United States is doing. They're trying to get the blame off of them. They're not taking responsibility for their own actions. They're not taking responsibility for the high crime neighborhoods. They're not taking responsibility for the fatherless homes. They're not taking responsibility for having 10 kids by six different women. They don't want to take that responsibility. It's the white man's fault. And just like Pyongyi said in my chat room, they're making heroes out of these people like George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown, Dante Wright, whole slew of them, people who don't need to be honored. They putting statues up. These people don't need to be honored because they're criminals. Philando Castile and Alton Sterling, Eric Gardner. And mainstream black America doesn't care about the truth because the truth dissolves their sense of victimhood. And it doesn't matter if they're doing a criminal act and a police officer might do something a little bit over the top and whatever. Oh, they're the victim. They're the victim. Well, if you hadn't been doing what you were doing, then you probably wouldn't have had the encounter with the police. Now, don't get me wrong. The police, you know, you got some knuckleheads in the police force. But a lot of times we tend to demonize them more often than any other profession because a lot of times the police don't let you get away with your little dirt. Why can't I go 85 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone? Why can't I knock this old lady upside her head and steal her purse? Why can't I break into this store and steal whatever I want? I should be able to do whatever I want. This is America, land of the free, home of the brave. I should be able to do whatever. And because I'm black, because I went through slavery, which you didn't go through slavery. We went through slavery. So we shouldn't be held accountable for our negative actions. And you white people just got to get a life. You white people need to sit down and just let us do whatever. Let us destroy the cities. Let us kill one another. Let us do what we feel big enough to do. Because you don't need to be coming up in our faces telling us, you know, that's a crime. That's wrong. And almost every time someone gets pulled over or whatever, and they happen to be black, they want to blame the police and say, he did this because I'm black. Without realizing, 9 times out of 10, the police officer does not know what race you are until he pulls you over and gets out the car and says, give me your license and registration, even in the daytime. The police officer is sitting on the side of the road the speed limit is 35 miles an hour, and you're doing 85, and he comes and he pulls you over, you can't say, oh, he just pulled me over because I'm black. He couldn't, you going so fast, he couldn't tell what color you were. But it becomes a convenient excuse, and it takes the attention off of us for our own criminality, and it puts it on someone else and say, they're the reason why I'm doing this. Dante Wright was a super criminal, shot his best friend in the head, who is now in a vegetative state with his white mother to spend her life tending to him. Bet most of you all haven't heard about that. All y'all heard about was Dante Wright got killed by Kim Potter because she couldn't tell the difference between a taser and a gun. And now she's in prison for 2 years. And some of y'all ain't even happy about that. As if she just full-blown murdered Dante Wright and just made the excuse that, oh, I thought it was a taser. And you don't understand what can happen when you're in a situation that involves split seconds. Sometimes you can't tell the weight of a gun or something like that. On normal circumstances, yeah, you can probably do that and be like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, okay. But when you're reacting in split seconds like Kim Potter did, your brain is not trying to assess, you know, how heavy is this or whatever. But, of course, we don't see it that way. We still say that Dante Wright was killed because he was black, which he is not. Folks, let me tell you all something. If you have a black parent and a white parent, you really can't claim either race. You can just say, hey, look, I'm human, okay? I'm just a human being. But you have some people say, oh, I'm white, oh, I'm black. No, you're still a human being, okay? And I know back in the day, people used to say, well, if these white folks marry these black folks and they have these mixed children, well, what race can they say they're part of? Say they're part of the human race. That's the race they're part of. That's why I look at myself as I say, yeah, I'm dark skinned and everything, but I'm a human before anything. But anyway, I wanted to share, and I got the links to these articles that I pulled up this morning. Let me see which one I want to pull up first. Let me pull up this one. Let me pull up the because this one right here is a good example of someone trying to put the blame on someone else, and they're making themselves the victim. But if they hadn't done their dirt in the first place, they wouldn't be going through what they are going through right now. Now, keep in mind, as I read this, I do believe there was a little excessive force by the police in this. Okay, don't get me wrong. I think, you know, how this situation was handled might have been a little bit excessive. But this young lady that I'm going to talk about, she wouldn't have found herself in this situation if she hadn't been committing a crime. And I get this from Vlad TV, VladTV.com, and this is on February 25th, 2022. Okay, it says the second anniversary of the brutal police dog attack that left Talmeika Bates lying on the ground with her scalp ripped open and her brain fully exposed on camera just passed about 2 weeks ago. But the emotional scars remain, and understandably so. Let me stop right there. When your scalp gets ripped off, your brain is not exposed. You still have a skull up there, okay? You still have a skull, so your brain is not really exposed. But let me go on. The brutal attack of the police-trained German Shepherd was prefaced by allegations that Tamika Bates and her friends had attempted to burglarize an Ulta Beauty supply store in Brentwood, California. The violent occurrence came to a head after a wild police chase that resulted in an automobile accident. And Ulta is one of them high-end type beauty places. It's not like a Sally Beauty Supply or something like that. Ulta is kind of up there. Following the collision, Bates jumped out of the getaway car and ran from the police on foot. Why are you running? She managed to hide in the bushes where she remained for about 20 minutes before being spotted by a police dog named Marco, who then ripped her scalp open with several bites to the head. The then 24-year-old was apprehended, but she was brutally injured in the process. Therefore, Tamika Bates is suing the police for excessive force. Her attorney also claims Bates has endured pain and trauma that money may not even fix. Tamika says she still has nightmares of the dog grinding and chewing on her head, said Bates' lawyer, Patricia Buelna. She says that she felt like she was going to die that day and really did not believe she'd live to tell her story, but is alive and thankful. She had to have her scalp surgically reattached to her head. She suffers severe depression and remains traumatized from the mauling. Now, I don't see anywhere where it says she had any skull fractures or anything like that. They didn't mention that. And that's why I say, you know, her brain couldn't have been exposed. There's still no word on how much financial compensation Bates' lawyers will seek in a lawsuit that could be a long and drawn out process. So for now, the California native is just walking the road to recovery one day at a time. My whole brain almost fell out. No, it didn't. See, she's overemphasizing what happened to her. Her brain did not fall out because her skull wasn't fractured. I've heard about people who have been attacked by grizzly bears. Like this one guy, he said he got attacked by a grizzly bear and his scalp just fell over his face. He couldn't see because his scalp just folded over and fell over his face and whatever. But you still have your skull up there, so your brain didn't almost fall out. Still no word on how much financial compensation Bates' lawyers will seek in a lawsuit that could be a long and drawn-out process. So for now, the California native is just walking the road to recovery one day at a time. My whole brain almost fell out, Bates said during a recent interview with KTVU Fox TV. I'm supposed to be dead right now, not alive, and I'm just thankful. Scroll up to, okay. Now, girlfriend was with some friends. Which, you know, a lot of us, we get in trouble because we're hanging out with people we shouldn't be hanging out with. And they were accused of trying to shoplift from this beauty supply store. Now, if she wasn't guilty, then she should have hung back. She probably would have still gotten in trouble because she was still hanging with these, you know, ne'er-do-wells. But she probably was part of the shoplifting process, too. Now, why did she get in the car? And when the car crashed, why did she run on foot and hide in the bushes? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just going to be straight up and honest with you. And I could be wrong. But I think it was a bit excessive to sick the dog on folks. You know, I think that's a bit excessive. Usually the dog is used in a situation where the police can't go in safely, so they send the dog. I think the dog was a bit excessive. But if you all, certainly did, yeah. But the white lady looking weave, yeah, talking about a cultural appropriation. But anyway. Now, if she was not guilty, you know, she trying to play herself as a victim. If you would watch the video, like I said, I left the link in the show's description. You pull up that video, and you'll read where she's trying to, basically she threw down a race card, and she's up there like, I don't even feel beautiful anymore. people look at me, they look at me like I'm ugly, and you know, well, you should have considered those circumstances when you went into that store and quite possibly shoplifted in that store. You should have considered that. This has nothing to do with you being black. You know, and too many of us, we get caught up in our dirt, something happens, and then we start saying, oh, it's because I'm black. No, it had nothing to do with you being black. It had something to do with you being a criminal. And we get caught up in this mess, and we start believing that, oh, the white man, he's out to get us. You know, if it was a white person, they wouldn't have met the same consequences that a black person does. And we see it to the contrary all the time. Black people get off with crimes all the time. A black man can murder somebody, he gonna get killed. But if it's a white person murdering someone, they take him to Burger King. You know, in reference to Dylann Roof, which the police always go to a restaurant. When they arrest a suspect, they always go to a restaurant and buy them something to eat because it could lead to them being more cooperative. But we can bring up examples like the DC snipers. They were brought in without incident. I remember here in the North Carolina area, in this area, two Nigerian brothers gunned down these police officers. They were brought in. They weren't harmed. They weren't shot and killed. It's folks, all you had to do is look. Instead of going by your feelings, you can observe and research and understand that black people do not get killed for the same reason that white people survive. You can understand that. Adam Re 9? Welcome to the room. Pianki, welcome to the room. Yahweh, welcome to the room. And I think my buddy Ira Dale is here too. Everybody, welcome to the room. Welcome to Black by Color Only. This is a show where I challenge, you know, some of the notions in the black community, a lot of the myths that pervade in the black community. And folks, let me let you know this too. I don't do this because I'm trying to kiss up to the white man. You know, I hear it all the time. Oh, you hate being black. I hate being black. Someone, please tell me, how do I hate being black? Because I speak out on these things. Because I speak the truth. We act like black people are just these innocent people that just walk around, skipping around the field, and we baking sweet goodies for our grandmothers and everything, and we don't do anything wrong to anyone. But people, this is a question I would like to pose to the apostles of blackness. Do you think when a black person commits a crime, do you think he should serve the time for it? Don't give me your little ideals and everything, and don't start doing your Michael Jackson, because, you know, a lot of people like to dance around the question. Do you think that a black person, when he commits a crime, he should be punished for it? That's a question I like to ask a lot of them. And their mentality is probably no, because, you know, we black people, we gone through all this and yada, yada, yada and everything and stuff like that. You know, we shouldn't have to go through anything. We shouldn't have to go through anything. Now see, sis, why you got to be calling me a coon? Why you got to be calling me a coon? That's my sister on Facebook. You know, we go way back. And folks, for those of you all don't know Yahweh Kai, no, she does not think I'm a coon. She does not think I'm a coon. She's being facetious, okay? You know, so I don't want anybody to be like, why are you calling Vincent a coon? He's not a coon. You know, but that's just in case y'all don't know who she is. You know, she's being funny. That's all. You know, so. But she'll probably still think of me as a coon, but. But people, we need to take the lens of race off of our eyes and stop viewing everything through the lens of race. I was watching a video yesterday with, I don't know if any of you all know that singer Joy Vila. She's a singer, you know. She got this Afro looking hairdo, you know, and she's known for her support of Donald Trump, and had this angry black man, you know, trying to debate with her. And I need to pull that video up, but he was so angry, like, you know, he didn't understand why, you know, a black person wouldn't support Black Lives Matter, or you know, and that, you know, we black people in America, we are suffering so much, we are being so oppressed and everything. And I'm like, I'm sitting there like, apparently, dude, well, you don't have to go to another country. All you had to do is do a little research, and you'll realize that the United States is not as racist as people make it out to be. Go to China. Go to, you want to talk about some oppression of black people? Go to China. My wife used to live in China, and my wife is pure-blooded African. She went through two civil wars in her country, in Liberia. She was a prisoner of war. And guess what? The people who held her prisoner, they were not white. She comes here to the United States, and she's like, you Americans really don't know how good you have it. And we really don't. And I would like to emphasize that to black people. Tell me, any other country you're gonna get served as well as you are in the United States. Even in the African countries. We've heard about the Hutus and the Tutsis in Rwanda, the civil wars in Liberia, the Congo. How African nations treat their citizens, and we want to talk about what the white people are doing to us here in America. There's no comparison to what you would go through if you went back to Africa, because, you know, you got a lot of these people talking about, yeah, let's go back to Africa, let's find out where we're really from. One guy told me that one time, this was about 30-something years ago. I was in front of the library here in Durham, and this guy said, you need to go back to Africa. Find out what your real name is. Find out where you're really from. I said, look at here. Let me tell you something. My name is Vincent Edward Brown. I was born on October the 16th, 1968, in a place called Roanoke, Virginia. My dad's name was Donald Lee Brown. My mother's name was Barbara Faye Brown. Vincent Edward Brown is the only name that I've known, and that's the only name I'm ever going to know, because I love my name. That's my name. I have never been to Africa. Really don't have a desire to go there. Might end up eventually going there because that's where my wife is from. But I really don't have a desire to go there. And I don't see myself as some, you know, pan-African or something like that. I am a dark-skinned American. That's all I see myself as. I'm a dark-skinned American. I mean, for real. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe I'm descended from Africans, from Africa, you know. I believe my ancestors, although I'm not sure, But more than likely, my ancestors came from Africa. They were brought over here on the ships, and they had to serve in the plantation and everything. But, you know, I need to do a very extensive genealogical study on that to see where my ancestors come from. But I don't see myself as an African American. I'm American. I bleed red, white, and blue. I love this country. I think it's the best country ever. I consider it a blessing to have been born in this country. Love it here. When I go on vacation, I can choose to go anywhere I want to. I can go to Florida. I can go to South Carolina. I almost said South America, even though I could probably go there too. But I can go to South Carolina. I can go to Florida. I can go to Georgia. I can go anywhere I doggone will please. I can go to D.C. Of course, I'm going to go to D.C. because that's where a lot of my family lives. That's where I grew up, Prince George's County. I was watching a video about Seat Pleasant, Maryland. I lived in Seat Pleasant, Maryland for a few years. My family lived there. We lived in a place called Central Park Townhouses off of Central Avenue. Lived in District Heights, Fort Washington, Oxon Hill, lived in all that area. So you all can pretty much understand why I'm living in North Carolina right now, because I am not a city person. I don't like the big cities. I don't, D.C. I was counting the days when I would leave the D.C. area. I could not live up there. This past Thanksgiving, I went up there to, my wife and I had to take care of some business up there, go to the Liberian embassy and take care of some business up there. And, this was around Thanksgiving. And while I was up there, you know, visited my family for Thanksgiving. And let me tell you all, I don't know what cities you all live in or anything like that, but I was so glad to be back in Durham. Oh my goodness. Woo boy, you want to talk about rude drivers? Oh my goodness. And every time I go to DC, I look forward to when I leave, getting off of Interstate 95 and transitioning to Interstate 85, because I never run into problems on Interstate 85. But Interstate 95 between Washington DC and Richmond and Petersburg. Man, I tell you, I look forward to, oh man, get to Interstate 85. Very rarely have I run into bad traffic on Interstate 85. At least that is until I get into Durham, because from Petersburg to Durham, there are really no big cities, you know, on Interstate 85. But when you get to Durham, it kind of slows down a bit and whatever and stuff like that. But I love it here in Durham. I love it, you know. Hey, you like D.C.? Go on up there. Hey, knock yourself out. Just don't drink from the Potomac River. And, folks, one thing I don't like to do is to blame somebody else for my shortcomings. Whenever I see an area in my life where I'm falling short, most of the time I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to take personal responsibility for that shortcoming. I'm not going to sit there and blame somebody else and say, okay, you know, this is because of this person. And, you know, I'm taking responsibility for it. And if those of us in the black race would do the same thing, take responsibility for our actions. Take responsibility for the fatherless homes. Take responsibility for the high crime. Take responsibility for the illegitimate births and a bad education. Take responsibility instead of blaming the white man. And don't give me this thing, oh, when you go to the white schools, man, they got all the good books and everything and stuff like that, so they're able to learn. School's not the only place where you can learn. Because I can tell you right now, most of what I know right now comes from 12th grade education and learning on my own. See, I know how to read. I know how to research. Anybody who knows me, they'll be like, good gracious, Vincent, I didn't know you knew that. Because I like to, I love to read. That's one of my loves is reading. And when, you know, I just don't like to follow the status quo. I've had times people ask me, Vincent, why do you read so much? What do you mean, why do I read so much? What, is there a sin? Is there a law saying I can't read? I just like to read. Now, you do you and let me do me. You know, what do you like to do? Why do you do that? But see, I like to read. I'm somewhat of a bookworm. I like to get information. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when I get that information, when I get knowledge, when I gain knowledge, I pair it with wisdom. Because wisdom is going to tell you what to do with what you know. And see, I don't just get knowledge about something just for knowledge's sake. When you learn something new, you got to pair it off with wisdom. Wisdom is what activates your knowledge, basically. And see, that's why you got a lot of people around here. They have a lot of knowledge. They have a lot of head knowledge. But when they speak, it's like they don't even know what they're talking about because they got a lot of information up there. But they didn't pair it off with wisdom so they knew how to manipulate that knowledge of what they know. And it's, you know, that's why you can go on these shows and whatever, these forums and whatever, and these people, they talk real intelligent. But when they get to talking, you're like, wait a minute, this guy doesn't really know what he's talking about. Because he's picked up a lot of knowledge, but he never tried to filter out the bad with wisdom. One of the people, oh my goodness, one of the people that I admire is Thomas Sowell. Thomas Sowell, oh my goodness. Thomas Sowell, Walter Williams, Shelby Steele, Larry Elder, I love them guys. I can sit there and listen to them all day long. Because these guys, they have knowledge, but they pair their knowledge with a copious amount of wisdom. They didn't just gain knowledge and say, okay, yo, this is, you know, this is, they actually went out, they researched what they know. And it's funny too, because Thomas Sowell, I think Thomas Sowell is about 90 years old now. He's 90 years old, and we got a president sitting in the White House right now, and Thomas Sowell seems to be a lot more lucid than Joe Biden. Now, try to figure that one out. But Thomas Sowell, still, he's still in his right mind. He's 90. And I listen to that man, I'm like, dog, this man knows what he's talking about. And, of course, people don't like him because he's black and he's conservative. But they forget that a lot of these people, one thing I notice about a lot of these people who have a lot, they have a lot of intellectual knowledge and wisdom and whatever, they used to be something else, and now they're this. Like Thomas Sowell used to be a Marxist. People like Candace Owens. Oh, I better not bring that name up. You know, Candace Owens, she voted for Barack Obama 2 times. But they have such insight into what's going on because they've been on the other side. They know what they're talking about. They just don't parrot the talking points of people they listen to. They actually go and they search it out. Kind of like the Bereans in the Bible, you know. The Bereans, they listened to the word of God, but they didn't just listen to the word of God. They went home and searched the scriptures to confirm what was being preached to them. But see, a lot of people today, they're not going to search out a matter. They're going to jump to conclusions because they've been taught to think a certain way. They let somebody else do the thinking for them. That's why they jump to conclusions, because they hear a story, but they don't infuse what they hear with some wisdom. Man, dog, Pianchi, write a book, man. Abortion in America has contributed to the greatest decline in black population since the black slaves arrived in the Americas in the 1600s. Yeah, and this is another brother who uses wisdom with his knowledge. I had to put Pianchi on one of those, lists of people to admire. According to U.S. Census data, there were 18,871,831 black American citizens in 1960. Since Roe v. Wade legalized abortion in 1973, abortion has killed an estimated 20 million black babies, more than the entire black population of 1960. Now, that's a sobering statistic. More than all the black population in 15 southern states in 2019. And he has a link up there, so check that link out. Some years in between, the rate was over 50 per hour or 1,200 per day. As if you woke up one morning and every black person is gone, disappeared. When I was in the 10th grade, they said that black people made up 13% of the population. Guess where that percentage is right now? It's still at 13%. The Hispanics came into this country and they just took over. Now they're the largest minority in the United States. And I don't like using that word minority, but they're the largest minority in the United States now. But we have flatlined. Our growth rate in the United States is basically zero. Anyway, man, you all, has it been an hour? My goodness. let me go ahead and get this done. Let me get my advertisements done and everything. And when I finish, I will see you guys on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is pleased to announce the return of Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown. Earlier this summer, Vincent took time off for the summer to do some things that he wanted to do with his family. Family is important, no matter what the left says. Now he is back. Starting on the 19th of September, Vincent Brown is back with Black by Color Only at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays with the show that you all loved. Vincent has a special way to let you know just what is going on and why it is good or bad. That's Black by Color Only on CNM, where America always wins. As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that Eye in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil fields and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeintheskysk fairnessdoctrine@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit.
Welcome back, everybody. If you would like to call in, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. Oh, let me stop that right there. And, when I left, I was reading this statistic about, you know, blacks in America as far as how they're being affected by abortion. Pianki was so gracious to generously post on the chat room about, you know, the statistics and how abortion has affected the black race, and going on. He says joining Planned Parenthood's deception are the many legislators who benefit from the organization's largesse. This month, several Democratic U.S. senators incredibly cited race when opposing a bill requiring medical aid for babies born alive after a botched abortion. One stated that black babies are three times more likely to die in their first year, which is an odd reason to withhold care from them. Yeah, that is kind of strange there. That is an odd reason. Another senator cited racial disparities in the healthcare industry to justify not giving life-saving aid to already born infants. Now, you all see why I can't, as a Christian, vote for a Democrat. So basically what they're saying is when these kids are born, they're going to have a hard life. So you might as well kill them before they're born, as if none of us who are alive have had a hard life. I know I have. A third Democratic senator cited abortion as means of lowering the 700 maternal mortality cases each year in the United States. 700? You're going to support abortion because of 700 infant mortality cases a year. The thinking that goes in these people. You know, I got a friend. He's probably in the queue right now. He came up with this statement several years ago that I just love. He said, a lot of people are thinking while stupid. And this is a good case right here. Democratic lawmakers highlighted race and downplayed the need for infanticide legislation at a Tuesday hearing on a bill protecting infants born alive after botched abortions. Y'all, give me a second. Oh, okay. All right, I'm back. That was my lovely wife. She was out fixing someone's hair and everything. So, but let me continue reading this. Tuesday, let's see. Lawmakers gathered Tuesday in Washington, D.C. to discuss the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, Republican-led legislation that would require doctors to provide care to babies who survive abortions. And folks, like I said, if you are voting for somebody and they support abortion, something's wrong with you. Really, there's no way around it. You cannot tell me that a person is a moral type of person who's going to support abortion. And you vote for these people because what? Why do you vote for them? I mean, why? I mean, why do you vote for these people? I don't get it. So you think you getting more money in your pocket or getting a bigger tax break or whatever is more important than saving the life of an innocent baby. But a lot of us, we went out in droves and voted for Joe Biden. We went out in droves and voted for Barack Obama. We went out in droves and voted for Bill Clinton. And some of the people who did that, they say they're against abortion. Oh, I'm not for abortion. Then why did you vote for this person who supports it? Abortion is the most heinous crime in America today. No one's going to convince me otherwise. You're going into a woman's womb to destroy the most vulnerable of us. And you're saying that's because of choice and women's health? I don't understand that. I don't understand that thinking. Once again, thinking while stupid. Thank you, Iredale. Thinking while stupid. That's what a lot of people do. They're thinking while stupid. I'll never support abortion. Because a lot of us alive today, if the legislators had their way, a lot of us would have been aborted. I know when I was young, when I was about 4 years old, my mom said they almost lost me. You know, I lost consciousness for about 2 days. And I used to suffer from those grand mal seizures. Somehow I grew out of them, but I used to suffer those grand mal seizures. Matter of fact, I got an aunt that has a scar on her thumb because one time I caught I had a seizure and her thumb happened to be in my mouth at that time. And you know, when a person gets in a seizure, they stiffen up and you know, everything goes rigid and everything. And they're trying to get her thumb out of my mouth. But someone like that, they think should be a candidate for abortion. They think a person who is suffers from cerebral palsy should be a candidate for abortion. And that kind of hurts me too, because I remember in the 12th grade, y'all remember that paper football we used to play? You know, you fold it up in a triangle and you play the paper football. I used to play this guy. I think his name was Robert, white guy, and he had cerebral palsy. Just one day, he came up to me. He said, "Hey, you want to play paper football?" I was like, "Sure." This guy smiled all the time. I'd never seen this man angry at all. Smiled all the time. And all the time, he beat me in paper football because I suck. But every week, he would beat me in paper football. And he smiled all the time. But yet, people think someone like him should have been a candidate for abortion. Basically, what you're saying is when a woman makes a choice, so-called choice, to abort her child because they have a birth defect or something like that, you're basically saying that those of us who have survived, who have gone through the birth defects, and we're productive citizens today, basically what you're saying is those of you all who survived, you know, those of y'all with Down syndrome and cerebral palsy and all that, y'all should have been killed. That's basically what you're saying. I can't understand it for the life of me why someone would vote for somebody who supports abortion. Especially those of you all out there who call yourselves Christians. And let me tell you, there are a lot of so-called black Christians who vote for candidates who support abortion. And I don't understand it. Now, I'm not sitting here trying to tell you how to vote. But like I said earlier in the program, your belief system should affect your politics, not the other way around. Not your politics dictating your beliefs. Your beliefs should dictate your politics. And see, I'm of the mentality that usually I vote for the conservative. Now, if you're conservative and you start talking about a woman's right to choose, you don't get my vote. People were singing the praises of Colin Powell some years ago. Oh, he's a Republican. Oh, he's a black guy. He's a Republican. And he got up one day, he said, "I support a woman's right to choose." I was like, "Okay, Colin Powell, you ever run for election, I'm not voting for you. I don't care if you're Republican, conservative, or whatever. You support abortion, you don't get my vote. I don't care what abbreviation is in front of your name. I don't care what letter is in front of your name. I don't care if you got an R or a D in your name. You do not get my vote. Period. But man, you got to vote for somebody. I'll write my name in. And I've done that before. Nah, mm-mm. You support the likes of Planned Parenthood? Black folks, do you understand the legacy of Planned Parenthood? Do you understand the Negro Project? Some of you all, I talk to you and it just bounces off your head. Negro Project, what's that? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Look up the Negro Project. Research it. And tell me if black people should be supporting an entity like Planned Parenthood. My wife, some years ago, they went to a demonstration in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And while they were demonstrating, you know, the doctors were coming out there with the dead babies in the plastic bags, out there bragging, talking about, hey, y'all, look at how many we killed today. Boy, I'm going to tell you all right now, hell is going to be a very sad place for a lot of people. And you black folks out there, you care more about your skin color than you do about the truth or morality or anything else. You care more about your skin color. It's going to be a sad day. It's going to be a lot of black people in hell because they care more about civil rights than they do about morality and truth. I'm just going to tell you like that. And you can get offended. You can get mad. You can call me all the coon and sellouts and Oreos and everything else, Uncle Tom's, Uncle Ruckus. You can call me all them names you want to. But somewhere deep down in that slimy covering of yours, you know I'm telling the truth. You know I'm telling the truth. And you're talking about a guy who wishes he had a baby right now, who wishes he had children. And you got people who are having children and choosing to murder them. Partial birth abortion, one of the most heinous forms of abortion out there. But we'll still vote for candidates who support that mess. Because, you know, we get all caught up in the wave, you know. We get caught up in the emotions. You know, we let someone else do the thinking for us without saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. Now, I like this guy, but he supports abortion. No, I'm not voting for him. Folks, I just went off on a tangent right now. Somebody probably needed to hear this. Somebody probably needed to hear this. Because it's a crying shame, people. We don't even stop and think about why we think the way we do, because we've been so hypnotized by information and we haven't coupled that information with wisdom. So we know how to properly manipulate the information that we have. See, a lot of us, we got a lot of head knowledge, but we have no sprinkling of wisdom with that head knowledge. It's like when you eat a bowl of cornflakes. Cornflakes got to be some of the blandest tasting stuff I think I ever met. So one day, someone came up with the idea of Frosted Flakes. Put some sugar on them cornflakes. Oh, it tastes better now. That's what wisdom does. Makes the knowledge taste better. But some of you all, and I'm not talking about the people who are listening now. I'm talking about the people who are listening in the archives. Some of you all will hear this, and you will still vote for candidates who support immorality. You'll still do it because your politics is more important than the truth. Standing up for politics is more important than standing up for the truth. You know what, Bianchi, you put another post on here without putting it in a book. Bianchi's just got a overwhelming sense of knowledge today. I'm telling you, my goodness. Look at this stuff. He's talking about Hunter Biden. Oh yeah, we want to sit there and believe Hunter Biden because he's the son of Joe Biden. That's the guy we voted for. So we're not gonna criticize Hunter Biden about his laptop or anything. Oh no, leave that alone. But let it be someone who's associated with Donald Trump, and we'll be all over that thing like maggots on crap. We'll be all over it. But Joe Biden, oh no, he. But anyway, I think the weather's getting warmer, so that means the fruit bats will start to flap. Oh, my tornado siren for some reason is not loud. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to my friend. That means if you're on the phones and you want to engage in character assassinations and ad hominem attacks and excessive profanity and things like that, you best hang up now, because if you engage in those activities, I'm going to hang up for you. And having said all that, let me get to this one. Hello, welcome to the show.
My opening statement this afternoon, I'm going to do some cast character assassination on them thinking while stupid people.
Yeah, you all, like I said earlier in the show, if you hear me make a statement thinking while stupid, this is a guy who invented that statement. And I thought it was such a grand statement. I was like, dude, you got to let me use that statement. I love it.
Well, you ain't seen no royalties from it yet. So outside of that, you can't use it. You know, you got to give me some royalties money, man. You know me for a long time. So you got to give me some money. I'm not asking for a whole lot, man, you know. So. But anyway, let me just say this. People get caught up. I told you before in our conversations, Vincent, that when we sit down and talk, whether we're side by side or a few miles away like we are now, I always say it's not about the outside. People get caught up on the outside. The outside person don't make you. The inside person is what makes you. And if you want to know about a candidate, I'll use you and me example. If you want to know about me, read the book of Iredell. If you want to know about Vincent, read the book of Vincent. You need to read the book of these people, because a lot of times these people, when they get ready to go on these shows here, I ain't never heard of this person. And you got 10 issues that's important with you. And these jokers might agree with 30%. Nah, I'm going to vote for the guy that's reaching more like I'm thinking. So if somebody's thinking like me, 70% on that issue is important to me versus 30%, hey, I'm going every day of the week. I'm going for the 70%. We need to, you know, yes, a lot of people, I remember, I was at some people's homes, and they was, you should have saw them celebrate. We got a black man in office. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, he might be a black man on the inside, on the outside, but he might be real devilish and totally against what you think is important to you as far as the issue is concerned at that time. I'm through. Moving right along.
That's true.
Have a great show, Vincent. Keep on doing your thing. And yes, yes, Cassidy assassinations, thinking while stupid, that's what I'm talking about. You need to get your knowledge, read it. If you don't get it right the first time, just keep on reading. It might take you 3-4 times. And get an understanding, because if you don't get an understanding, you're going to regret. I guarantee you, half the folks that voted for Joe Biden, they regret.
Oh, yeah.
I'm through.
Yeah. All right. All right, Iredale. Go ahead and enjoy you a Subway sandwich. Let me get Bianchi on here. Welcome to the show.
Hey. You know, your show without the fruit back siren is about like peanut butter without jelly.
I'm telling you, man. You know what? I need to fix this thing. I'm telling you, I thought I had it fixed, but had the volume turned up and everything, and it still sounded low. So, but anyway.
Yeah, it took me to my knees. I had to reach over and grab something to keep from falling. But, you know, you hit on some very important thing. And I put in there the name of that black man in Tennessee, Samuel Sampson, 27-year-old. He came to all-white church in Tennessee in 2017.
Yep.
And sat in the back. And then one Sunday he just opened up fire on all the parishioners, killing and wounding them. And come to find out that he wrote, he had a manifesto that he wanted to kill 10 white people in that church. Nobody heard anything about that.
I know I didn't.
It's about Dalen Roof. That's the black privilege I be talking about. They want to moralize these criminals, and you can't say they ain't criminals. George Floyd was a criminal. You know, the police had left him in the car where he was doing that drug that was all in his system. He probably wouldn't have been a problem for him. And also, if you want to indict police officers who was there on the scene, then why come if George Floyd had died from a drug overdose, you don't indict the people that's sitting in the car with him, watching him take them drugs?
Yeah.
You see how these double standards work out?
I tell you.
Amon Arbery, the joggler thief, jogging by store, jog in, grab something, and jog on out. And look at the interaction with the police he had in the one video. Approaching the or walking fast toward the cop. Cops could have shot him, but he didn't. Calling them all sorts of names. That's character. And character does what? It leads into something else. What do the old people say about living those type of lives? What do the old people say? He had it coming. What did the king say in one of his speeches? How long? You shall reap what you sow.
Yep.
Quote, unquote. Look at Dante Wright, a staunch criminal. And we already don't talk about the things that he was involved in.
Oh, yeah.
In the position he was in the day that he got stopped. People making it look like he was getting stopped because they had an air freshener on his rearview mirror. No, car didn't have no driver, no license plate on it.
That's right.
And you know the sad thing? He shot this kid. What is he, 18 years old, something like that, maybe younger. Shot him in the head. Now he's in a vegetative state in a wheelchair.
Nobody says anything about that, though.
His white mother's got to tend to him for the rest of her life. And where's the black father? Typical. I mean, look, it's hard to swallow, but it's the truth.
Yep.
It is the truth. Like this damn Joe Biden is giving Ukraine $800 million. Is this another thing? Is this another thing where he was withholding the billion-dollar check that Congress has voted, saying that unless you fire the prosecutor who's investigating Hunter Biden for corruption, you don't get the $1 billion. And call Obama if you want to. That means that he's in on it too.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't say nothing.
Yeah, and it's and I'm a little speechless about it. You know, that this stuff is out here in our faces, and we and that's why I believe that we have a selective type of belief system, selective outrage, and whatever. We believe what we want to believe, and we disbelieve what we don't want to believe. I really do believe that. I really do believe people are very selective about what they get mad at or what they support, you know, based on
their
ideas.
You know what it is? They full of so much hate for the white man that they blind.
Yeah.
There's two things for sure that I know that would cause you to go blind. One, illegal moonshine whiskey. And two, hate. Moonshine whiskey and hate will cause you not to see.
Yep, exactly.
They hate. They hate so much they can't stand it. Then they want to get on. See, I tell them, I say, look, if you want to hate, go ahead and hate. But be more definitive in who you mean when you say the we and us. Because my kids are not in that we. And stay the hell away from them. Because if I catch you near them talking that stuff, I'm going to look at it as an attack on a child. Child abuse.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it is. That's what it is. Yep. That's exactly what it is.
Trying to teach black kids to hate like you hate. No, be better definitive of who your we and us is. And stop trying to bring everybody up into it. Because what that means is that you are uncomfortable with the reality that you pose. That your us and we is inadmissible. It's irrelevant. Ain't nothing there. It's nothing there.
Yeah.
Then they want to call you names. Then they bring it up reparations. But you got, where's the rest of the fruit bats, man?
That's a good question. I had a guy on here today. I wanted to debate with him. He was here for a brief second. For a few minutes. He's one of my Facebook friends, but he's into the he says he doesn't support Black Lives Matter, but he's into this pro-black rhetoric, I guess, or whatever. And I thought he was going to stay a little longer, and I thought we could sit here and debate a little bit.
I was on another show trying to address the topic, and they hooping and hollering back and forth and talking. I said, well, look, I'd be on my show at 4 o'clock with Vincent.
Yeah.
Black by name, black by color only. But that's just the way it goes. Where's the outcry from the black man that tried to kill the mayoral candidate in Kentucky? And Black Lives Matter come bails him out. Is that not a misuse of the money that was donated to them to bail out attempted murderers.
I guess that's why they don't support people in the projects and poorly educated youth and whatever, because they gotta get their boys out of prison when they get caught up in their dirt.
That's black privilege, that's probably why. Vincent.
Yeah,
that's black.
Yep, that's
privilege.
Exactly. That's black privilege. Yep. Exactly.
I want to moralize Trayvon Martin. And, you know, I'm sorry to hear that these people lose their life. But for people to be trying to make a center them at the center of a movement is just totally ridiculous. These people, you know, these people utilizing cause and effect. When you cause something, the effects is going to be what they are.
Yep.
And the words you use, like calling the man a cracker on the phone with his girlfriend, that reveals your character.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Martin Luther King talked about. But anyway.
I mean, really?
And you know about that abortion. Can you imagine they aborted more babies than the entire black population in 15 states?
I mean,
the entire black population in 15 states.
15 states.
Like you come outside and come Monday morning looking around wondering, everybody's gone.
Yeah.
What did mama say? Have anybody seen my neighbors and friends, black folks? Can you tell me where they gone? Well, that's basically what you're looking at.
Yeah. And I was looking at a stat. They said that by the year 2070, that white people will no longer be the majority in this country. I have to counter that with, well, that black folks keep killing their babies, they probably will still be the majority in this country.
Yeah, blacks would be gone.
I tell you, I can just see a white man bringing his son to the museum, and the son looks up and he says, "Hey, Daddy, what's that up there?"
On that statue, on that pedestal.
Yeah, who's that up there? Be like, "Son, that's the last black man that ever lived in this country. They supported abortion to the point where they actually extinguished themselves." Be like, "Oh man, that's horrible."
Like the last of the Mohicans.
Yeah.
Chicago as of Tuesday. This past Tuesday, February the 22nd. 3,699 blacks shot by other blacks in 267 days since I started keeping this record based on newspaper accounts.
Mm-hmm.
508 murdered. Not one white police officer has shot anybody that I can detect from what I read. Not one.
Not one.
All that shooting. Kids running to school zigzag. Bulletproof backpack. I bet you whatever's going on in Ukraine, it don't total 3,699.
Yeah.
3,590. I bet it don't.
Yeah.
And they having a war.
Exactly.
Got a prosecutor that washed a slate of 29,000 felons.
That's funny. And when I say that's funny, I'm sitting there laughing. Yeah. And I was in the show's description, I already talked about the lady who had her head ripped off by the dog after she and her friends were accused
of
shoplifting.
You heard what I said, don't you?
Who was that?
I said the dog had a hold of that damn weave.
I think that's what happened. The dog grabbed the weave, and when he ripped the weave off, it also took her scalp off too. That's what I'm thinking happened. But you know, of course, they want to make this into a civil rights case and throw down the race card. And you know, she's sitting there like, "Oh, I don't feel beautiful anymore," and all this, and she's trying to play out that she's the victim when she and her compatriots in a beauty store trying to shoplift, which
trying
I don't
to
know
shoplift
why.
Or run yeah, in, yeah. bash and grab weeds and stuff and run out with them. That's what's probably
yeah.
going on.
And she running right with them. She was in the car that got away. She when the car crashed, she jumped out the car and hid in the bushes for 20 minutes. I'll be honest with you, you know, and I could be wrong. I think it was a little bit excessive to send the dog after them, but
well, that's what you have to send when you run. Ain't no police officer going to be running. Why do they have to run after somebody? You're supposed to be accountable and surrender and follow directions. You know you was wrong. You had
yeah.
to know you was wrong. That's why you ran.
That's
you had
why
to
you
know
ran.
Something was wrong with you. Something was wrong with your record, Deontay Wright, because that's why you tried to run.
Exactly.
Then when you do
that's
run, you hit another car of an individual who just recovering from cancer. Then that wreck accident sends them into hospice care. He probably dead now.
Yeah, probably.
So but I don't know what to think.
Yeah, I don't either. I had another link to another story that I saw on Facebook this morning, and it concerns this kid. He was at a college. I think it was University of North Texas. And he's a black kid. And one thing I noticed now when the police encounter a black person or something like that, the first thing come out their mouth, what do you want, officer? I wasn't doing anything wrong, you know. And this kid, he's on a bicycle. And in Texas, there's a law that says if you're riding your bike at nighttime in Texas on the road, you're supposed to have a light on your bicycle. On the front part of your bicycle, the light should be seen from a distance of 500 feet, and you should have a state-approved reflector on the back of your bicycle. You know, and this kid, he was riding his bike. He didn't have a light on or anything. Police pulled him over. And he's like, well, what did I didn't do anything wrong. You know, first of all, by him making that statement, he probably knows he did something wrong. I don't know, but he probably knows he did something wrong. And so the police officers trying to talk to him, saying, yeah, you're being detained, you know, and whatever and stuff like that. And the boy, you know, he's like, you pulled me over because I didn't have lights on my bicycle. Oh, that's it. And so he tries to pedal off, and the police officer can't call and say, hey, you can't leave here. He's like, wait a minute, but I'm not being detained. He said, yes, you are being detained. And he said, I want you to sit down over there, you know, while I look at your, you know, he got the boy's name and when he was born. And turned out, the boy had some warrants. And he's sitting there like, you pulled me over for this, and now you pulling up warrants. And then he had his mother on the phone, and they're sitting there, oh, they got five police officers out. Once again, they're trying to drum up. That trying to dramatize the situation, you know, because, you know, I'm a black kid. They sent in these five cops after me as if they don't do that with white people, but I digress. But they sent in all, Ma, they got all these cops and everything. And all the boy had to do was sit down, cooperate, take his Fifth Amendment rights, you know, the right to remain silent, and it could have been better off for him. But he wanted... When he left, when he tried to leave that cop, basically, and the police officer told him, said, look, I'm giving you a chance right now, but I could have arrested you for leaving because you're trying to evade arrest, you know. But the cop, I had to get a cop an A+ for how he handled that situation. But a lot of us, we look at that and say, yeah, look, they're harassing that black kid. They're harassing, no. The black kid should have been following the law. Now, it might sound...
Well, he should have complied. You're right.
Yeah, he should have complied.
He should have complied.
And, you know, the law might sound chintzy. It might sound a little chintzy and everything, and you might be like, well, they're pulling him over because of a light. Well, that's the law. That's the law. You don't sit there and... You don't try to sit there and dance around the law because you don't agree with the law or something like that. If that's the law, Now me, if I was riding a bike and police officer pulled me over, I'd be like, okay. Oh, well, officer, I didn't know that law. Well, you not knowing, your ignorance is no excuse, you know. Okay, well, hey, you caught me, officer. You know, and you'll get off. Now he's not going to have no warrants on me. You know, this kid had some warrants. And, you know, he was getting upset because they found, they dug up some warrants. And they said, oh, listen, yeah, you're coming to the station.
Listen at this. Tell me who you think this is.
I don't think so. Grab it with you, okay? Why am I fucking with you? You want to know why I'm fucking with you?
Why?
Keep your hand in your pocket.
I ain't got shit on me. What the fuck you fuck with me for?
I'll tell you why I'm here, man.
Why?
I'll tell you why I'm here. Because this area is known for drug activity.
Drug? How the fuck I'm drug attack when I work at Blue Beach?
Back up.
Check my shit.
Back
right?
up.
The fuck you talking
Uh-oh.
About?
You want to back up?
Check my shit.
Turn around, put your hands on the car.
Wow.
Turn around, put your hands on the car.
What's up?
Turn around, put your hands on the car. I'm checking you for
no
weapons.
Reason.
I'm checking you for weapons.
You got no reason to touch me, bro.
I'm not searching you. I'm checking you for weapons. All right, man? You don't
I
have
got
any warrants.
No fucking weapons, bro.
I know, but you're coming up on me. Make
coming
me kind of nervous. Okay?
You bothering me for nothing. You can't go in my car.
You're not allowing me to search your car?
You can't go in my seat.
I'm not asking you.
Guess who that is? Vincent.
Don't know.
That's Ahmaud Arbery.
Oh. That's Ahmaud Arbery?
That's Ahmaud Arbery.
Oh, he don't sound too angelic there. Woo, and he let off with them F-bombs. My gosh. Oh, my goodness. I usually don't allow a lot of cussing on this show, but that was a soundbite, so.
Well, that was another one there with him at a store.
So that was
they
a mile
to take a 55-inch. Yeah, I wish I had your email. I'd send you it, but the Sarge got it. They tried to take a 55-inch TV out of a store. Out of the back where the customer's supposed to pick it up. And they get caught. And they get out in the parking lot. Police come, make them all get out. So they can do an investigation until the storekeeper come up. Storekeeper come up and points him out. I guess they was on camera. So, no. You know, nobody deserves... People deserve justice. They do deserve justice. But... All these things play in to what one day, you're going to reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm. And
you're going to reap what you sow.
My sister up in New York, she wants to dispute that sound clip that you just played. She said that wasn't
It ain't
him.
No sound
this
clip. It's pictures. Everything is on. It's him.
She said it was a voiceover. You know how they do for the kung fu.
Ain't
movie.
No voiceover.
She said that was someone else.
It's him.
Retta has a very sharp sense of humor.
Well, wait a minute. That's what they said about them 4,995 last year. Now this year up. In 200 and some odd days, it's 3,599 is a Tuesday. They want to say that's white men running around with black masks on shooting black people.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I remember that, saying that it was really white people. I said, now, y'all really stretching.
The NAACP in Missouri put out a traveler advisory saying travel through Missouri at your own risk. For fear you might get shot by a white police officer. Now, you think I'm lying? Google it.
I already did, and I said, I still can't get over that one. I really can't. Oh, my gosh.
So what's happening, you see, these people that's saying these things, especially people of some sort of prominence, that's putting this fear, putting this twisted logic into these people's mind that's causing them to act like they're acting, like in Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
when this barber going to drive away from the police at the highway patrol and try to stop them, and going driving through residential neighborhoods at 100 miles an hour, going to claim that he was scared the white police going to kill him. end up getting killed himself after wrecking the car.
Yep. Yep.
Then the governor, Bill Edwards, was going to get on a national announcement, you know, like the one that come on when a child is being abducted, and talking about he didn't have anything to do after being charged for a cover-up. Then he come out, it's my opinion, if he had have been white, that wouldn't have happened to him. He would have been treated better. Well, the police drug him out the car. Here, the car done had that type of accident. Hell, it might be a fuel leak and it might explode.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you going to sit there and talk to him? If it's somebody in the neighborhood, he just drove through at 100 miles an hour and they catch up, when you think they're going to offer him a bottle of water? I wouldn't. I'm going to be mad as hell.
Yeah.
And don't get us wrong. This is not all blacks that's doing this. Nobody talks about the ones that's raising families, the ones that's sacrificing for their children to go to school, denying themselves of just a simple pleasure, like a brand new pair of shoes, for spending every dime that they can for that black child to be able to have what they need to succeed. Nobody talks about them.
No, they don't.
But that husband, the baby's father, has got three jobs trying to raise his family. Nobody talks about them.
Yeah, because they want to keep that that culture of victimhood going. They want to perpetuate that we can never we can't get by unless we get some type of government assistance or something like that. So we got to downplay the black success, you know, that's going on. And see folks, this is not going on with the Republicans or the conservatives. This is going on in the ranks of your buddies, the Democrats, the liberal Democrats.
You know, nobody talks about the white, the countless whites that come out and try to do the best that they can. They're killing up the cemeteries. Like down there in Baton Rouge, the old cemetery, it goes back. They the one that's going in there cleaning up this cemetery.
Yep.
Putting the lids back on the graves.
Yeah.
They the one that's sponsoring a lot of these college, like the Missouri Athletic Association in St. Louis. They used to be accused of being a racist. Or they the one that's providing scholarships for black kids.
Yep.
The St. Louis Cardinals accused of being, they the one through Cardinals Care that's providing scholarships for black students to go to school.
Yep.
Nobody
and everything
any credit.
Everything you say can be confirmed if people would just go out there. I mean, we got Google people. We can go to Google.
Hell, it was Rosenthal that helped build 5,000 black schools for slaves back during that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Omaha, Nebraska in 1869 where they done away with segregated schools, not 1954 as the NAACP tried to hijack.
Yep. And keep in mind, a lot of your major black universities, they were named after white people.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Howard University, white person.
Hell, it was the British at the time, well, you was Ghana then, with the Akan, the Ashanti. They spent from 1808 to 1928 and beyond to end indigenous slavery in Ghana.
Yep.
Because the people didn't want to give it up because it was profitable. And plus,
yeah,
it was
exactly.
A way by which they got rid of their riffraff.
Yep.
Every society had riffraff. Do we not have it here?
Oh, yeah. The Lord
and what happened to them? You put them in prison and sent them away. And if anybody owe reparation, you owe reparation to them tribes where they could be all sort of mayhem, robbing, stealing, burning, tearing up stuff, and could not pay restitution. And a lot of them got killed when you couldn't pay their restitution or you got sold off.
Yep.
So that's just the way it was. Where's Sarge at today?
Yeah, Sarge. I don't know. I hope Sarge is feeling well.
Probably getting his wings. Probably getting his bat wings tuned up.
Or it might be flapping around, sucking on some fruit or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, we can only do the best we can.
I want to put a request out there for my listeners and whatever. If you all know a good graphic designer, I'm looking for a graphic designer because I want to design some logos for this show. I want to dress the show up and everything. And of course, I'm supposed to be starting a podcast between now and April. And I'm trying to find someone who can do some quality logos. Because I tried it myself and I was like, nah, I can't do this. I got to get somebody else to do it. But if you can, if you know anyone out there with some, who can do good quality logos, and I'm talking about top of the line or whatever, I would be greatly appreciated. I put my email in the chat. You know, that's my email, vibroman@gmail.com. And if you, I would be greatly appreciated if you can give me any suggestions, because I'm really looking to polish some things over, get some things started, and I really want to polish my show for when it gets out there. But anyway, if you can do that, that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. And that's to anyone who's listening now, anyone in the chat room, anyone on the phones, anyone in the archives, you know. That's my email address, vibroman@gmail.com. So, but anyway, any parting thoughts?
I will say one thing here. Have you ever heard of, you know, blacks get unusual and unusual sentences for nonviolent crime? Am I right?
Yeah, and then that's true. Hear? Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, I tell you what. You check this story out on this white kid when he was 16 years old in Detroit. They call him White Boy Rick. He got the longest sentence for a nonviolent crime than anybody in this country. Working with a drug kingpin, they call him Johnny Curry. You check that story out.
Yeah, I see. Is that the link that you left in the chat room?
I left you several. Well, it's the last one. White Boy Rick.
Okay.
He's on YouTube. Got the longest sentence for a nonviolent crime dealing with drugs. And people say blacks are poor. Well, I don't know, because I don't try to follow that. But as if they're the only one, so at least you got to change your definition of the way you describe it. You have to say one of, some of, but not all entirely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought that it was whites that was bringing these drugs into the country.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got Lucas was bringing drugs in through caskets and that, and the rest of them, the boys from down in North Carolina. A lot ain't been. See, that's what I call critical race theory. Because somebody put a point out there, the way they putting it out there to demonize whites. Hey, we know some stories, too, that whites have suffered from also. Nobody talks about that.
No.
Anyway, man, it's about time for you to get off in 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Man, this 2 hours went by so fast today. I mean, I'm like, man, where did the time go? Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Okay, there we go. Yeah, this time just went by so quick today. I mean, I was like, man, I guess it was because, you know, I was ranting earlier and everything. And but anyway,
last week, and I'm putting in a pin for my other show, Profit or Loss. Last week I didn't have a show, but I should have it tomorrow, God willing. So if you all want to come out there and check that show out, Profit or Loss, that's where I talk about the false doctrines, the myths in our Word Faith churches. Come out there, join me if you like. Bring your mama, bring your grandmama, bring your grandpappy or whoever and everything and stuff like that. And next week I should have another edition. Black by Color only, still trying to get this thing revved up, keep it going, keep that train going, you know, keep it on the tracks and everything, because we got a world to save out here, and we need to get the truth out there. We need to keep perpetuating the truth. Good day in the morning. What in the world? All right, I don't know why these videos keep coming up. I got the links to them, but they keep starting up automatically. But anyway, you all take care of yourselves. Enjoy yourselves. Stay safe out there and whatever. Next week should have another edition of Black by Color Only. And you all take care of yourselves. This is Vincent E. Brown. I'm signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a good Saturday.